chapter reveals nature as the supreme consciousness, the Ishvara, who has appeared on the earth to protect the good and punish the evil. And also bring in good ideas and remove wrong ideas. That is also the good and the evil. It's not only the physical, but also that his knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita removes a lot of our misconceptions, our confusions. And then after talking about the various kind of karmas, the good karmas, the forbidden karmas, the duty, and then also seeing that there is an actionless self, the Lord, behind all karmas, he then says that one should constantly be aware of that. And then we heard in the last few weeks about the different kind of yajnas. Yajna is not only offering in the fire, but living a life of self-control and offering all that is coming in, not allowing it to influence my mind, is also a yajna. Controlling my organs of action, not speaking too much. So everything. So the yajna, one is offering in the fire, dravya, but any offerings. And then Bhagavan also talks about jnana yajna, which is the offering of ignorance in the fire of knowledge, which is what Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda called his Gita talks as Gita Gyan Yajna, where in the fire of knowledge, the ignorance is sacrificed. And that's why his holdings always said Gyan Yajna, the sacrifice of ignorance in the fire of knowledge. And then the question might be asked that we have heard about so many yajnas, pranayama and offering to the gods, offering to the Lord. So which is the best one? You know, we always want to know, like when we go to the store and the sales lady is showing us different outfits and she says, you know, well, this one is the best. Or if we go to a computer store and the salesman is showing us different computers, he says, you know what, this one is the best, this is the latest model. So same way, Arjuna probably wants to know all these yajnas you have told me, how to sacrifice with self-control, how to offer. But which is the best yajna? Which is the best that one should practice? So today we will hear about the best yajna. And that is verse number 33, chapter 4, verse number 33. Shreyan dravyamaya yajnyat. Mayat yajnyat jnana yajnya parantapa sarvam karma khilam partha jnane parisamapyate. So he starts with Shreya. Now, Shreya is a word we have talked about before, but just to briefly summarize, everything we do in this world is either Shreya or Priya. In Kathopanishad, the teacher Yamraj himself tells. And Priya is what is pleasing to me, what is giving me some temporary joy and makes me happy. Shreya is what is good at all times, for all people, in all situations. That which is good. So something may be good for me, but is not good for my neighbor or for my family or for my at my work, then it's not Shreya. It's good for me, but it's not good for others. Or something is good for me now, but may not be good in the future, like a sweet. I eat now, it tastes very good, but I know in the future it is going to raise my blood sugar and I'm a diabetic. And in all situations, at any time, past, present or future, something that is good is called Shreya. And Priya is what is temporarily pleasing. So Bhagavan says, Dravya Maya. Dravya means the offering of any goods. Like in the olden days, in the fire, even now when they do rituals, they offer grain or offer wood or offer ghee, you know, all those things that we offer. And they are done for the higher goal that, you know, either for say, if somebody is building a new house, then they do a yajna, or starting a new job or a factory or something, then they do an offering. So he says offering of material into the fire, dravya mayat yajnyat jnana yajna parantapa. The offering of ignorance in the knowledge is the highest, because without knowledge, everything else is useless. And Parantapa, that is one of Arjuna's name. Parantapa means the one who the opponents fear, and opponents get scared because he is so powerful. So he's telling Arjuna that you are such a powerful warrior that people, you have overcome so many battles in your life, but today is the greatest battle you are facing, and that is the battle against your own mind. So he's reminding him, you are a great warrior, and why are you not able to see the clarity of this situation? And so he says, Jnana Yajna is the most superior. Why? Sarvam karma, all actions, akhilam, completely all actions, O Partha, O Arjuna, Jnane parisamapyate, end in knowledge, or receive their culmination in knowledge. So knowledge is the highest. Why? Because all karmas end in knowledge. And last week, I think somebody had asked, so does that mean that a person who is realized or has knowledge does not do any actions? So we'll address that today. So as we said in the beginning, karmas can either obtain what I don't have, that is called apyam, or karma can create something new, like obtain, like I go buy a laptop. Create something new is like I grow flowers, or I create a dosa or an idli out of different ingredients, or I might improve. Improve is like I have an old vase, I polish it and clean it, and then modify, like from clay I make a pot. So karmas can only do these four things, which is called the result, apyam, utpadyam, samskaryam and vikaryam. And then there are two kinds of actions that are called Purush Tantra and Vastu Tantra. What we had talked in detail about it, but just to briefly summarize, what is individual or Purush Tantra? Purush Tantra is individual action where I have a choice. For example, I moved to the United States from India. That was my choice to move. And then having moved to the United States, where am I going to settle down? Whether I'm going to settle down in New York or Florida or Minnesota. So there I have a choice. That is called individual choice or Purush Tantra. But having moved to Minnesota, because my friend lived there and he said, you know, come here, it's a good opportunity. I have moved to Minnesota, that is my choice. But having moved there in January, when it is minus 30 degrees and there is this much snow, you say, I want it to be warm. It's not going to happen. That is Vastu Tantra, that is the nature of the object. You have moved to Minnesota in January, it's going to be minus 30. That's not your choice. Similarly, in history, as we had talked about last time, he says, I don't believe that George Washington was the father of the nation, or he fought the... That's something you cannot change. That is a historical fact. It is well documented. So what I eat is my choice. What I do with my things is my choice. But having eaten the food, what result it has in my body is not my choice. That is Vastu Tantra. If I eat something healthy, I'll have a healthy result. If I eat unhealthy, I have an unhealthy. So I have a choice up to a certain extent, that is called Purush Tantra. But what that object does, or what is its nature, is not my choice. Like fire is hot, I cannot say fire is cold. So that is Vastu Tantra. So in Jnana, is it Jnana, is it Vastu, or is it Purusha? So all karmas I do, all karmas, I have a choice, right? Whether I, for example, my body, I just to summarize this chart, for there are a lot of new people. So this BMI chart is, the B is the body, mind and intellect. With the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. With the intellect, I think the thoughts. And V represents vasanas or tendencies. And Om represents body. So body is, in to some extent, my choice. You know, do I, what I eat, how much I exercise, how do I take care of the body? That's my choice. And accordingly, and then what kind of objects I see, hear, smell, taste, touch, that is my choice. With the mind, what kind of emotions I should have, good or bad, selfish, unselfish, is my choice. With the intellect, what kind of ideas I should have, that is my choice. That is all individual choice, all called Purush Tantra. What kind of vasanas, what kind of desires I should have, that also I can influence. Maybe I have a desire for alcohol. I am an alcoholic, but I can change. I can say I go to AA, from tomorrow I'm not going to drink. So there I have a choice. But Om, or the consciousness or the life principle within me, that I do not have a choice. Because there is one life principle, one consciousness, and that I can only know as my true nature. I cannot change it. That's why they say this Brahman or consciousness cannot be modified. It is eternal. It is the same it was, it is and always will be the same. Creations may come and go. Now, out of the Brahman, out of this consciousness, I can choose which God I want to worship. See, that is Purush Tantra. Do I want to worship Bhagwan Shri Krishna or Ramchandra ji, or Mother Saraswati, or Jesus, or Guru Nanak, or Buddha? Now, there I have a choice. But once I worship Bhagwan Shri Krishna, or Ram, or Mother Goddess, what is their essential nature? Their essential nature is Brahman. All of them, whether it's Krishna, or Ram, or Mother Saraswati, or Jesus, or they are all manifestations of that one reality. So that one reality I cannot change. I can, once I worship this particular form of God, the goal I will reach is only one. And that does not change. That's why Bhagwan is said to be avyayam, cannot be modified, cannot be changed. So that is the, not in my choice. I can choose which form. So that is the, so jnana, knowledge, takes me to the highest. Karma, action, will take me to a lower goal. Say if I do lot of good actions, I do lot of yajnas, so what will happen? I'll go to heaven. But then heaven, after say few thousand, 100 years, I have to come back. If I do lot of service, I do lot of good, or I do lot of prayers, or I go to the temple and donate, those are all very good acts. I'm not saying that. Definitely one should do that, because by praying or by doing charity or by doing service, my mind becomes pure, becomes unselfish, and in an unselfish mind, knowledge can occur. So when we go to a teacher, if you want to have knowledge, you first have to purify your mind through service, through prayer, through charity, through giving. And once your mind is pure, then knowledge can stay. So karma is necessary before jnana. And Bhagwan says that in many places. For to get the knowledge, I have to do the good action. It does not mean I have to wait till I have done all good actions and at the end of my life go to the teacher. No, we keep studying as we are doing right now. We keep learning and at the same time purifying our actions. So the more pure my actions, the more pure my mind, the more clear becomes the knowledge, because my vasanas are reduced. So I can become a karta, that is a doer of good actions, and then ultimately I become a gyata or knower of actions. And the right means of knowledge is very important. Like to tell the color of this tablecloth, can I listen with my ear? No, I have to see with my eyes. The sound I am speaking, you cannot say that I'm going to close my ears and see with my eyes the sound you are making. No. You need ears to hear, you need eyes to see, you need a tongue to taste. You cannot tell the taste of an object by looking at it or by putting it on your ear. So similarly, to learn spirituality, you need the right means of knowledge. And there are the three are said to be the highest means of knowing Brahman, or knowing this knowledge, called Prasthantrayi, or the three means of knowledge. One is the Upanishads, one is the Bhagavad Gita, and then one is the Brahma Sutras, composed by Ved Vyasji. And we are blessed that we are able to study the Bhagavad Gita, which is one of the three supreme means of knowledge. And why is it supreme? Because the Lord himself gave this knowledge to us. And what, knowing this, what happens, the knowledge brings me to that understanding that I am not the limited ego. Right now I think myself to be the body, mind and intellect, perceiver, feeler and thinker. But this knowledge, which we will talk a little more in detail later also in today's class, but this knowledge tells us that I am Om, this consciousness. This is my lower nature, whether I call myself Anil or Pramod or Satish. Those are my lower nature. But my true nature or higher nature is Atman or consciousness, and that is who I really am. And when that happens, then this little ego is lost, this idea that I am doing, because then it's the Lord that is working through me. And that understanding comes because all of us are that divinity. All of us are actually Om, are actually Brahman, actually consciousness. It is our ignorance that makes me think I'm a man or a woman, my name is Varsha, my name is Harsha, and I'm a limited individual. So this ego is the source of all of problems. Talking about ego, because ego makes us show that I am more than who I am. So there was this man who tells his neighbor, he says, you know, I don't mean to be nosy, but our walls are very thin between our apartments. And last night I heard you and your wife arguing very loudly and you were shouting at each other. I hope everything was okay. He said, you know what? My wife got down on her knees. He said, she did? She got down on her knees? He said, yeah. And he said, well then, what did she say? What did she do? She told me, get out from under the bed, you coward. So the ego makes us show that I am more than what I am. So when we realize that I am that immortal consciousness and everybody is, so then we see the oneness in all, and then we develop universal love. And that's what all the saints knew, like Shankaracharya ji said, and all the Upanishads say, Aham Brahmasmi, I am that consciousness. And everybody is that consciousness. What they say is, whether you know it or not, whether you admit it or not, you are consciousness. You are Brahman. You may say, I am not Brahman, I am a useless individual. Doesn't matter. Whether you agree or not, the fact is, all of us are. And all of us will remain that. But the knowledge makes us accept that, understand that, and bring it into our life. Where I am not this ordinary human being, I am this consciousness, so I should act like that. If I am divinity, if I have divinity in me, then I should act divine. My action should be divine, should be pure, and I should love and respect all. So all actions end in this knowledge, as Sujata had asked last time. It does not mean that the realized master does not act. Actually, that is his choice. There are so many realized masters who just stay in the forest or in the Himalayas or in the monasteries and just meditate. And they don't never go out. They never accomplish. In our mind, they don't do anything. But just their presence in this universe, a realized master with his vibrational energy is able to bless, not only at that time, but even after he leaves his body for hundreds and thousands of years. If there is one realized master, that's why Narsimha Mehta says, "Pul kule kotar taryare." A realized master, it's 71 families, 71 of his descendants are blessed Not only his family, but the whole universe is benefited by that. But then there are other masters who go out, like Swami Chinmayananda, who after realizing, spend the next 43 years traveling, teaching, you know, preaching. And he was doing that because that was his desire to share this knowledge. But it does not mean that he is any different. Some people bless by their presence, some people bless by their words. But when these masters act, they act out of welfare for mankind, for all of us. Because if we did not have Swami Chinmayananda, we would not have had this center, we would not have had the Bhagavad Gita and all the Upanishads translated for us. So we are so blessed that we were able to get a master like that. And that's why such a master is said to be Purnam. Purnam means he or she is complete. And they do not need anything else to make them complete. A realized soul, whoever, whatever faith, whether it's Mirabai, whether it's Narsi Mehta, whether it's Tukaram, whoever the realized soul is complete. And because, why? Because they have achieved oneness with God. And then whatever words they speak are words of wisdom for you and me. That's why Mirabai's bhajans and Tukaram's abhangas, we still sing Narsi Mehta songs, we still sing. And they say that actions, any action we may do, whether I do puja, whether I do rituals, whether I do charity, whether I am reading the scriptures, whatever I am doing, whether I am listening, ultimately the question should arise, who am I and why am I here? Why do I get a human body? Why do I have a human brain? What is the purpose of my life on this earth? And the scriptures tell us the purpose of our life is not just to grow up, you know, go to college, get married, have children, have a job, and then become old and die. Even animals do that. The goal of my life is to realize the truth, to know that I am that, and to act like that, to become like that. So that is the sole purpose of studying the Bhagavad Gita, the sole purpose of becoming a human being. If you do not reach that goal, then your journey has been incomplete. You have not accomplished your purpose. So that is the essence of this beautiful verse where Bhagavan tells us that the highest is the Gyan Yajna, or offering ignorance in knowledge. And that's why study of the Gita is called Gita Gyan Yajna. And at the end of that, a person who has understood that, then his or her actions become service to mankind, are no longer selfish. Then Arjuna asked, how am I to get this knowledge, Bhagavan? And we all say, you know, how am I to get this knowledge? It seems very difficult. I have to study the scriptures and then I have to know I am Brahman. It's very difficult. So Bhagavan gives us a very simple solution, simple method. It's not very hard, and we'll do that in the verse number 34.